Bucks Uncensored is driven by Mastro Subaru and fueled by Buffalo Wild Wings. Get to B-Dubs for happy hour and late night happy hour Monday through Friday, 2 to 6 and 9 to close. Select $2 drafts, $4 mixed drinks, and $4 apps. Buffalo Wild Wings, wings, beer, sports, and please drink responsibly. At Mastro Subaru, the guys there, they are stick carriers themselves, and they want to help other stick carriers out. Go to Mastro Subaru with one of their locations in Tampa or Orlando and let them know that you're a stick carrier. You get special stick carrier pricing. Whether you're looking for a new car or a pre-owned vehicle, they've got them all at Mastro Subaru. Check them out, MastroSubaru.com.
This is a real movement of real people. You can't stop this movement. You can tell us to cool it or else it's not going to work. You're self-sustaining.
You see how we play as a family. You see what we do as a family. I can't feel my face and the answer is unequivocally yes.
Bucks Uncensored.
I'm tired of getting disrespected. Yeah. I'm tired of low expectations. I know what we about. I know what we about. I know how great we are. Let's keep stacking them W's and let's do it as a family.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. One heartbeat. Let's get it.
Let's go, Bucks! Let's go, Bucks! Let's go, Bucks!
If you thought the last Bucks Uncensored podcast was explosive, well, hopefully we can match that intensity and teach you something as well. I can guarantee you one thing. The Bucks takes, they match the intensity. And while the Bucks might not be carrying that big motherfucking stick these days, I can guarantee you the fans are. Gave you my opinion on Robert Quinn. I'm going to give you a different angle in this podcast relating to a rumor that is out there, and perhaps this is playing a role into some of the decision making that's going on. We've got all kind of fans out there. As a movement of Bucks fans trying to come together, ignoring those that are trying to tear people apart, we know that on April 26th, no matter what everyone's opinion is, the ultimate goal is the same, and that is to party our fucking ass off, buy each other shots, likely get tore up from the floor up, and then the Bucks are going to make their pick, and who knows, maybe they trade back into the first round and make two picks that night. Or maybe they have multiple picks on day two, which will be a story we talk about here in a moment. The Bucks Uncensored Draft Party, the second annual Bucks Uncensored Draft Party and the 2018 Bucks Uncensored Draft Party is less than 2 months away at the Buffalo Wild Wings in South Tampa. It is going to be a fucking madhouse. And unlike last year where we let people reserve tables, just show up. Just show up. Show up. I don't think we're going to be reserving tables this year. It's about, I don't even think I sat down the entire party last year. Insanity. Can't wait to see everyone. Free agency is next week. I'm actually going to be out of town the entire week. I was considering recording Mondays and Wednesdays podcasts on Sunday night, but if free agency starts, it could very well be a moot point by that time. So I'm still debating on how I want to handle Wednesday's podcast of next week, because again, I will be out of town and I will be out of commission, not out of commission dollars. That's why I'm going out of town. But I'll determine how we're going to handle next week. How we're going to handle this week is I want to address what I addressed in a way on Monday's podcast. And that is this notion that the Buccaneers have to have all this fucking cap room because they have so many players to re-sign. So many. There's a lot of them. Jameis Winston, Mike Evans, Ali Marpet, Donovan Smith, Quan Alexander. Where are they going to get all this money? That's why they have to have this much cap room. It's the storyline we've heard for 3 years now. Rather than trying to build up your team in a fast way to take advantage of the cheap contracts these young players had, no. The salary cap has just sat there. Every year the Bucks are top five in cap space. Excuse me if I'm starting to get a little skeptical about that. One thing's for certain, though. If you look at that 70-whatever million-dollar number that they have, there's so much more money that they can add to it as well. Do not buy the bullshit that they can't spend money because they have to re-sign their own free agents soon. Because that is nothing but a lie and a load of bullshit. It's very simple. And these days, you have all of it right at your fingertips. If the Bucks have around $70 million, whatever they have, what is their... Yeah, $70 million. This is overthecap.com. $69,775,000 that they can spend. 70. If you start going through some of the... First off, let's look at players who don't have dead money that are up there in age. Lavonte David, almost $9 million. J.R. Sweezy, if he's a pre-June 1st, post-June 1st, we'll just do post-June 1st for him. $6.5 million. No dead money if he's considered a post-June 1st cut. There's $15 million right there. Will Golston can be traded right now. Right now, if he's cut, it's all dead money. $6.5 million. Post June 1st. Do that real quick. Still, all dead money. Traded, no dead money. That's just for this year. But eventually, $6.5 million. So now we're up to over $21 million just for those three players. Robert Ayers, $6 million. $27 million for four players. And I haven't even mentioned the player whose name has come up in trade rumors just today. Gerald McCoy, $13 million. Do the math. 40 more million dollars on five players. Well, you can't just get rid of all your best players, can you? No. You can't. Now, eventually, will those players be gone over the next few years? I mean, I'm sorry to say, for those of you that are huge fans of Gerald McCoy or huge fans of Lavonte David, but this is life in the NFL. You turn 30, your guaranteed money is gone, you're fair game. I mean, there's a cycle in the NFL. And I mentioned $40 million for those players. Go ahead and tack on another $11 million for DeSean Jackson, who's not going to be here past his next 2 years. Maybe only has one more year with the Bucks because that year is guaranteed. Other than that, he can be traded now, and none of it would be dead money. $11 million. So where are we at? We were at 40, so 50, $51 million. So now you're at $120 million in cap space just for those six players? Most or not all of those players won't be here in 2 years when Jameis Winston's contract is up, when Ali Marpet, Quan Alexander, Donovan Smith. There's plenty of money to re-sign their own players and to go out and finally address the needs on this team. I'm tired of the Bucks having top five in cap space, but losing the previous year. So you didn't spend, you didn't have success, now you have all this cap space again. And I'm tired of them spending cap space on older, aging veterans who come here to steal money. Steal it. That's not the way it's supposed to be. You're supposed to pay for what you're going to get, not for what they have done. So spare me the bullshit of them not being able to spend money because they have all of these guys they have to spend. And by the way, Quan Alexander's not going to get as big a contract as y'all think. He's just not. He's not. Good player. Splash player. Hasn't been a consistent force on defense. Has not. I think he has potential too. But you're not writing him a check for $10 million a year. Let's not be silly. Marpet's probably going to get a good size contract as a guard slash center. Donovan Smith is a left tackle, probably going to get a decent contract. Jameis Winston, even if he gets $30 million a year, we just had $120 million with those six players gone and the $70 million that they have now. $30 million for Jameis, $10 million for Marpet, $10 million for Donovan Smith. There's $50 million. So now we're back down to $70 million. Mike Evans, what is he going to get? 20? So now we're at $50 million in cap space. And I just re-signed all of those players that y'all wanted, giving them probably the max amount that they could possibly get. So let's all just relax on them. Oh, my God. Are they going to be able to re-sign all their players? Yes. Yes. Because that's what every team does in the NFL. There's a few times where you got to make a tough decision. But if they are core players on your team, and if you want to keep them and have to keep them, you will find a way to keep them. In rare situations, you might have to make a difficult decision. It's very, very rare to find a pass rusher available. Robert Quinn was available. He had 8.5 sacks last year. Proved to be healthy after he got surgery. Yeah, he did deal with injuries the previous 2 years. But was he a fit for Wade Phillips' 3-4 defense? Maybe not. Maybe that played a role into them moving him. Maybe they decided that Marcus Peters, as a potential shutdown corner, was more valuable in Wade Phillips' defense than Robert Quinn was. So they pretty much got at least a mid-round pick back. And they traded Robert Quinn to the Dolphins, who, oh, by the way, have cap issues. So how in the hell did they bring on Robert Quinn? You find a way. 27-year-old pass rusher, probably going to have more of a future there than Cameron Wake and Ndamukong Suh. And maybe that was part of the Dolphins' plan. See, these teams have plans. And maybe that plays into what the Bucks, and maybe it's a little hint at to what the Buccaneers might be looking at doing. Now, what put throw a little wrench into my plan was that, or into my thinking, was that the Bucks offered a 4th-round pick for Robert Quinn. But they didn't go all in. And if you've listened to this podcast, I'm not one to give out participation trophies. If you want a guy, go get him. Especially if your 4th-round pick is higher than the Dolphins. Figure out what it would take and do it if you want him. Because they're not going to come to you and say, oh, 1st-round pick for you, but 4th-round pick for the Dolphins. No, 4th and a 5th or 4th and a 6th. Instead of swapping 6th, you just give them your 6th. Or 4th and a 5th. Or 4th and a 4th round there next year. You know what it takes to get a 4th-round pick? Trade down 2 slots in the 1st round. You get the 4th-round pick back. Shit. But that leads me to the story that was out there. This is from, I believe it's Mike Sando of ESPN. And hey, listen, if we're going to talk about other trade rumors as if they're fact, you can't sit here and act like a trade rumor about one of your own players on your team is just made up and just thrown out there for bullshit. Absolutely not. If y'all are going to act like the Michael Bennett trade rumors out there that are that act like they're true and real and about to come to fruition, then how can you just sit here and ignore other trade rumors that are out there? You know, we don't know what's bullshit and what's not. All you can do is sit here and analyze, well, what if this were to happen? And Mike Sando threw out, and apparently, and I'm going to go back and make sure I read this precisely. It says, according to ESPN's Mike Sando, this is on 247 Sports. There have been rumblings of 5 trades that involve big-name players. Each of the trades Sando touches on is either proposed, vetted, or he heard rumors about. So there's some level of reason to believe that the potential for these deals is there. And quite frankly, I don't think this is as far-fetched as maybe some of you think. Unless the Glazers step in and say, no, no, he's the face of our franchise for the last decade. Well, what the fuck does that tell you? This is from Mike Sando, who says, the Oakland Raiders have discussed sending their 2018 second-round pick, John Gruden's Raiders, to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers for defensive tackle Gerald McCoy. Let me read what he writes first, and then I'll discuss. I'll give you my opinion. You can send in your Bucks take with yours. Says defensive tackle is a big question mark for the Raiders. Absolutely it is. McCoy, who turned 30 last month, what did I tell you, 30 years old? His guaranteed money is now at $500,000. I believe, let's see, if he's traded, they have $500,000 in dead money for this year, and they get $12.25 million back in cap space. But that's not the reason that they would, the only reason they'd trade him. If you could get a second round pick for a 30-year-old defensive tackle who's not going to get quicker, who's not going to get faster, who's not going to get stronger, who's not going to become more impactful, just think about that for a moment. Let's think of this realistically. And you just watched a 27-year-old defensive end who got 8.5 sacks last year get traded for a 4th-round pick and a swap of 6th-round picks. I mean, if you're Jason Light, I think you have to be listening to an offer like this. If it was offered to you, or did he offer it to the Raiders? Who's getting the better end of this deal? Are the Bucks fleecing the Raiders for a 2nd-round pick for a defensive tackle that's 30 years old? Or are the Raiders getting a bargain? Getting a guy who's been an all-pro, Pro Bowl every year, such a quick step, that first step, that burst into the backfield, only for a 2nd-round pick. Who's getting the better end of this deal? McCoy, who turned 30 last month, remains a frontline player at the position. But he's fading fast. There's a lot of defensive tackles that are rising up the ranks. A lot, and I know we're so pigeonholed here in Tampa that we can only think Bucks and only Bucks, but there's a lot of defensive tackles across the NFL that have surpassed Gerald McCoy as better all-around defensive tackles. Well, he has nothing to work with here. Well, I guess there's an argument for everything. McCoy is signed through 2020 with base salaries between $10 million and $13 million and only $500,000 of proration remaining, all in 2018. Tampa Bay could use its early picks to revamp its defensive line with an emphasis on outside rushers. There was some question among execs whether McCoy would command a second-round pick at age 30, what did I just say, and whether the Bucks could comfortably part with him. Teams can part with players. And if you think you'd be upset with it now, you'd get over it fast, especially if the team's winning, especially if they found a way to rush the passer without Gerald McCoy, especially when you realize, for those that say, how do you expect to get better by giving away your best players? Well, if you're going 5-11, 6-10, 2-14, whatever they've done over the last 10 years with one season at 9-7, whatever they've done with Gerald McCoy, if they can do that with Gerald McCoy, they can do it without him. Because they have not made the postseason with Gerald McCoy in a Buccaneers uniform. Teams get rid of players every year. Sometimes you got to take the ramifications, take it while it happens, but then have confidence that that's the move that is going to make you a better team. Getting a second round pick for a 30-year-old defensive tackle is a hell of a move, especially with that pick being the 9th pick in the 2nd round. That would give the Bucks 2 top 10 picks in the 2nd round and a top 10 pick in the 1st round. Giving them room to maneuver. Do they trade down the 1st round, acquire even more picks? Do they trade up from the 2nd round into the late 1st round? You've now got free reign to continue to build an even younger nucleus behind this new nucleus, by the way, that most of you say is all going to get their 2nd contracts. Well, now, how about building another whole young nucleus under this nucleus? Now you're building a complete team. Is that part of the plan? Buffalo could be another logical destination for McCoy. Tampa Bay could conceivably ask for defensive end Jerry Hughes as part of its return. I think he's also older. Hughes is scheduled to earn 7 points. Let's see. Mike Sando also says sending receiver DeSean Jackson to Kansas City for D. Ford was another suggested trade to help the Bucs pass rush, despite doubts over whether the Chiefs would be interested in Jackson at this stage. Andy Reid out there. Couple of things that popped into my mind first. Whether you agree with getting rid of McCoy or not, blah, 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 blah. It's simple economics. It's supply versus demand. And the demand for 30-year-old defensive linemen is not very high. The supply for draft picks is not very high. So if you can tell me, and just getting the scale, the teeter-totter on both sides, that you could get a second-round pick for a 30-year-old defensive tackle, I mean, no matter who it is, at this stage, pretty impressive. Now, it's not a done deal. It's just a rumor that's been out there, or that's out there. And rumors are rumors. You know, is it true or is it not? Let's just say hypothetically it's true. Why would the Bucs get rid of Gerald McCoy? Maybe they want a tougher defense. Maybe they want a tougher leader on defense. Maybe they want a nastier defense. Maybe they're changing schemes on defense. Gerald McCoy doesn't fit really into a 3-4 defense. In a 3-4 defense, you're not asking your defensive end in a 3-4, which is what he'd have to play, to get that first quick step, get up the field, go, 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 go. You're asking your defensive ends and your nose tackle to take on blockers to allow the linebackers to do the work. The Bucs didn't go hard after Robert Quinn. Was Robert Quinn traded from the Rams because he really didn't fit a 3-4 defense? And did the Bucs not really go hard after him because maybe they're looking to transition themselves? Does Gerald McCoy not fit a 3-4 defense? Is that why they're maybe looking to move Gerald McCoy? And if that's the case, if that's true, and this is all an assumption, but it's something that a lot of you have thought to yourselves. Should the Bucs transition to a 3-4 defense? Will Golston probably fits better in a 3-4 defense? Robert Ayers could fit into a 3-4 defense. They could get a nose tackle. Whether it's Stevie T, I'm not saying his full name, he could play nose tackle. Vita Vea with the seventh overall pick could play nose tackle. Quan Alexander, Beckwith, to me, those two can play middle linebacker in a 3-4. Noah Spence can stand up on the outside in a 3-4 defense. Then all of a sudden they throw out DeSean Jackson for D. Ford, 3-4 outside linebacker. I'm just putting two and two together here. I'm just making an assumption on my part. But could that be something that the Buccaneers are considering right now? And if that's the case, it makes sense. Gerald McCoy is not a great fit for a 3-4 defense. But rather than the Bucs come out and say, we're switching to a 3-4. Hey, everyone, I want you to know that we're going after only 3-4 defensive players. And we're going to get rid of and kick to the curb all of our own 4-3 guys. And by the way, if that's true, Gerald McCoy's name's not going to be the only name that's thrown out there. Lavonte David, probably not a 3-4 outside linebacker, making $9 million a year. So you can get pissed off all you want, But this is reality. It's the NFL. And fortunately or unfortunately for Bucks fans, we've never really had to go through that because they've never really transitioned the defense. It's always been a 4-3. Oh, Tampa 2, aggressive, but it's always been a 4-3. You've never really seen an actual transition that some of these other organizations have gone through. When you transition from a 3-4 to a 4-3 or a 4-3 to a 3-4, you got to completely change personnel, especially in the front seven. And yeah, you know, disappointing guys that have been here for a long time. And I hate using the phrase a results-driven business because what fucking business is not results-driven? If you're a business owner, how is your business not results-driven? That's how you survive. So it is a true business. Show me the results. And if the results aren't there, we're going to tweak things. Maybe tweaking things for them is changing the defensive philosophy. And by doing that, harsh decisions, tough decisions have to be made. But if you go out on a press conference and you say, oh yes, we are changing things, 3-4, then teams are going to be like, well, fuck you. I'm not going to give you a second round pick for Gerald McCoy. You're trying to dump him anyway. I'm not going to give you a third or fourth round pick for Levante David. You're going to dump him anyway. So maybe the Bucks are playing this close to the vest. I don't know. But I think I made a pretty strong case as to maybe that's what they actually are doing. So that teams aren't sitting there going, oh shit, the Bucks are going to go after Dontari Poe. They're going to go after 3-4 outside linebackers. They're going to go after this guy and that guy because they fit that prototypical 3-4 defense. And if that's what ultimately the Bucks are trying to do, and if they ultimately are looking to transition to a 3-4 defense, and they were to somehow, and I'm going to say it, steal a second-round pick for a 30-year-old defensive tackle that doesn't fit their new defensive philosophy, then as much as Jason Light was maybe ridiculed on Monday, he might be applauded. He might be applauded for that, keeping that kind of secret and then getting that kind of haul for Gerald McCoy. And by the way, not only going after certain players in free agency, but you can completely revamp things when you've got three picks in the top 37, 38 picks in the draft. No, 40. Well, maybe 41, 32, 41. Three picks in the top 41. Yeah, you can change things in a hurry. All we can do is make assumptions. But one thing's for certain. They don't need to save salary cap room to pay the guys that are about to get contracts. As I said, there's plenty of cap room already on their roster that is going to be available in the next couple of years. Might start to become available this offseason. So they've got $70 million to spend. If they want to revamp their defense to a 3-4, and they want to improve their offensive line and find a running back in free agency and draft a running back, teams can turn it around in a hurry. We have seen teams, organizations turn it around in a hurry. It's up to Jason Light and the Bucks as to whether or not they want to be a turnaround team in 2018. If they do, the chips are on the table. If they don't, it'll be status quo, and they'll hope that a roster that got them a 5-11 season last year will be a roster that, you know what, gets them to 7-9 the upcoming season. That's not how you become a turnaround team. You become a turnaround team by being aggressive. And what did I say a few weeks ago? And maybe some of you took a little hiatus from the podcast because you needed a break from the Bucks. But what I said several weeks ago now is that if you want to be successful, if you want to win an NFC South title, if you want to win a Super Bowl, you have to be aggressive as an organization from the top down, and it starts now. It doesn't start in August at training camp. It doesn't start when the regular season starts. It doesn't even start when OTA start or when the mini camp start. It starts now when you're in the weight room and you're training, even by yourself, when you're going and watching the combine, when you're getting ready for free agency. It's having an aggressive mindset from the top down. And if you have that aggressive mindset and you believe in yourself and you believe what you are doing and you have a plan, then who gives a fuck what the fans think, what some jackass with a podcast thinks, what anyone in your evil local media thinks? You have to believe in yourself and you have to be aggressive in what you do. And if it works, you look like a fucking hero. And if it doesn't, fuck it, at least you gave it your all. You bust your ass and create your own luck. And if you don't, you're going to sit there and watch other teams turn their organizations around and fly right past you. Shit.
Bucks Uncensored.
You've heard me for years say, don't forget to try that devil crab. Well, a lot of you live outside of the Tampa Bay area. Bricado's Sandwich Shop, they've got the best devil crab and best Cuban sandwich in town. But if you don't live in Tampa, how are you going to get it? Well, I've got news for you. Bricado's ships their devil crab, their Cuban sandwiches, and all of their other food nationwide. Get more information on how you can get that devil crab delivered right to your door at BricadosSandwich.com. Friday night is your night at Sports Legends Bar and Grill in Clearwater. $7 chicken fajitas, $7 ultimate nachos, $7 domestic pitchers. Sevens are wild. It's Friday nights at Sports Legends. It's a place where you can eat like a legend and drink like a champ.
Bucks Uncensored.
All right, it's Bucks Uncensored. Got some intense, very, very intense Bucks takes coming your way right now. You can send in your Bucks take anytime. Record your voice on your phone and email it to BucksUncensored@gmail.com. BucksUncensored@gmail.com. Let's get right to it, shall we? People are, fired up. Fired up. I text with him all the time. He's one of my good friends. Why don't I just make him first, shall I? From Headlines Barbershop, it's my buddy Christian.
Justin, so I'm listening to the podcast Monday, man. I'm here driving, I'm listening to it, and I had to fucking call you. By the way, this is Christian Perez from Headlines Barbershop. I got way ahead of myself, way over my skis. Didn't even say who I was because I'm fucking going crazy. I had to stop listening because you got me fucking crazy and you got me jacked up. I don't fucking understand either. I don't get it. 27-year-old fucking pass rusher. We haven't had a double-digit fucking goddamn sack pass rush, defensive end, whatever the fuck, since I can't even remember. Since Simeon Rice, I think. Jesus, a 27-year-old fucking pass rusher for a fourth-round pick, and you let the Dolphins fleece you? Really? I don't fucking understand, Justin. And one thing that people failed to mention, he only had 8.5 sacks last year. He had 8.5 sacks in a system that he didn't fit in the Wade Phillips system, only playing 53% of the goddamn snaps. 53%, and he had 8.5 sacks. many snaps did Will Golston play? Huh? How many snaps did fucking Robert Ash play? Fuck! Speak softly and carry a limp fucking stick.
Ooh.
I'm out.
Okay.
Oh, and thank the sponsors. All of them.
Okay, I'll go ahead and do that. Thanks, Christian. Whew. He's fired up. The hell with it. Let's go to Spectre. Hey, Spectre.
Yo, Commissioner Spectre, man. All right, man, I'm going to try to keep this short as I can, dude. I got that notification about that Rob Quinn trade, man. I almost drove my car into a fucking ditch. I was so fucking mad. And then, especially with what they gave up for him, fucking peanuts. That goddamn peanuts. And then when I saw the report on Joe Buck's Fan, man, about the Hawks in talks with the Falcons about trading for Mike Bennett, man, I'm like, you got to be fucking kidding me. That can't happen, man. It's like you were saying on your podcast I was just finished listening to, man. If that happens, man, hey, pitchforks, man, where they go be in front of one Buck place, they're demanding he step outside and explain himself, man. But in my opinion, man, I honestly think like Will from the Southwest said earlier today, man, I think it's time we turn off the light, man. Just go ahead and flip that light to that light switch to the off position. Just he needs to go. He just needs to go, man. He can't keep being a pussy like this, man. It's this bullshit, just like you were saying. And then his response is about the Jameis Winston Uber investigation. Him and Dirk Cotter getting up there feigning like they don't know what the hell's going on and won't give us an explanation for that shit. You don't do the fans like that. Tell us something. And we all know it's about ticket sales. They don't want to risk, you know, ticket sales declining, man. So, and then they have the nerve to raise the prices. Oh, what the fuck ever, man. Anyways, I know you guys, the stick carriers, I'm going to fucking keep swinging your big motherfucking sticks. I'm going to keep swinging my big motherfucking stick and show us the commish and everybody else. You know what I'm saying? So, whatever, man. We just got to keep each other's heads up, man. Let's keep doing that at that draft party, man. And that's all I got to say for the day. I'm going to go take me some motherfucking NyQuil or some shit because my head is killing me. My all kinds of fucked up. It's flu season. You know how it is, man. All right, man. Y'all take care of y'allself, man. Keep your head up, Bucks fans. Stick carriers.
Now, Spectre did say that was it. That's all he had to say. Right?
Commish. I had to send in another one after seeing this, man. Looking at Joe Buck's fan post, response to Mojo, if y'all don't know, Pocket Hercules, Maurice Jones-Drew, about what he said about the Bucks and Brent Grimes earlier. And Miko Grimes replied on Twitter, "Relax, Joe. I'm not going to say the whole thing, but the main point you want to get is scary money. Don't make no money." This goes back to what you said. Jason Light is a fucking pussy. Pussy! Hashtag turn off the light. Stick carriers, keep swinging that stick. I will. I know you will. I'm out. Spectre.
Well, I hope I gave you a different perspective in case they are transitioning to a 3-4. And maybe that's why Robert Quinn wasn't a target of theirs. And maybe that's why there's a rumor out there that they may trade Gerald McCoy. If they're transitioning to a 3-4, then maybe that makes a little more sense. As long as they are going to be aggressive and address the defense and not say, well, our own guys are just going to fit into that scheme. No. That's not going to work. You go and make it work. You got to get to work. That's what my boy Tony Tega always said.
Justin, stick carriers. Your boy Tony Tega here, Section 112. I've been in my cave long enough. It's finally come time to come out and let you guys know where I'm at mentally with this team. And whether it's missing out on Robert Quinn and Marcus Peters or watching Brent Grimes flap in the wind or hearing of all the trade interests that the Falcons have in Michael Bennett, my question's very simple to Bucks management.
Great question, Justin.
I'm tweeting it out.
I don't understand Polish.
But the sweating continued.
Thanks, Jason.
I love being with you and answering all your tough questions.
Oh, yeah.
It's a great question.
He's going to be still the tallest of an offense that has big, big height on it. Crushed it!
Where the fuck is the urgency? What are you doing?
You guys realize you're not the New England Patriots, right? You're not sitting there on a throne of success. Do you fuckers realize that you're the most incompetent-looking NFL organization, not named the Cleveland Browns, in the entire NFL? Has that fucking thought came into anyone's head yet? It's beyond infuriating sitting here looking at the start of this offseason, but having said that, I know free agency is around the corner, and I know there'll be some guys out there that can help make the Bucks better, and some guys in the draft too, so you have no choice but to sit there and hope and pray that recent history changes and that process is handled properly and the right guys with the right mentality at the positions of need come here. But god damn it, get your shit together, guys. Wake the fuck up. The rest of the NFL's realize that the season starts right now. You need to get with it. But in the meantime, I'll be speaking softly and carrying that big motherfucking stick. And for fuck's sake, wake up. The offseason started. Get to work.
There it is. There it is, Tony. Thanks. Jordan is up with us.
Hey, what's up, Justin? It's Jordan, stationed here in Ohio. Hey, man, I called in a few weeks ago when the Marcus Peters shit came about, and I was pissed. Now this Robert Quinn shit comes. Now, I'm, of course, fucking furious, but having a good day, driving, listening to a podcast, going to meet a girl for a beer, and I can't help but call in after hearing an article Jenna Lane wrote about cap space and this and that. Now, let me enlighten you motherfuckers. The Dolphins are over, with this signing of Robert Quinn, are over the cap space. Go look at overthecap.com. They were like second to last in the league with the least amount. And they're still out. The people with no money are going out signing motherfuckers. And we have quadruple what the fuck they have. And we continue just to be the status quo. We're the Bucks. Well, we're going to build through the draft. And, you know, blah, blah. Yeah, that sounds great. Well, let me tell you something. Jason Light and Dirk Hutter, you don't have a fucking future with the Bucks if you don't succeed this year. So your draft picks here are irrelevant at that point. If you suck, all you're doing is handing your good draft picks to a successor because you're not going to have a future in Tampa. Now, am I saying we shouldn't, you know, trade away all our draft? Fuck no. We need to draft well, and we have in the past. But we need fucking veterans, and we need to be good now, or you motherfuckers will not have a job come next year. And if you do, it sure as fuck won't be in Tampa. So.
Oh. And that's how it ends. Scott's in Pennsylvania. Hey, Scott.
Justin. Scott from Pennsylvania. Doing my morning drive up the New Jersey Turnpike. I'm not even halfway through your podcast. And this Robert Quinn thing, god damn it. You know what Jason needs to do? He needs to call Bill Polian. Bill Polian's a great guy. He'll help him out. And he needs to say, help me! Help me! God damn it! There's one thing to carry a big motherfucking stick. But guess what, stick carriers? You gotta swing the big motherfucking stick! Justin, as you know, I'm usually low-key, but god damn it, these moves. And it started with Calais Campbell. And you know what? Maybe it is the Glazers. Maybe they want to bank their $30, $40, $50, $60 million every fucking year. So you know what? Support the goddamn soccer team in England. All right. Thank you for letting me vent. Go Bucks. Thanks to all the sponsors. Speak softly. And swing the big motherfucking stick!
You know who you're hearing from? Season ticket holders, Christian, Scott. I mean, Scott comes to each game from Pennsylvania. My buddy Harold comes from Atlanta for every home game. Season ticket holders. These guys bought season tickets just for one game. See OKC boys.
Hey, what's going on, Kamish?
What up, Kamish?
What up, stick carriers? Wow. It's OKC boys. Frustrated as fuck, you know, we lost out on Robert Quinn. I mean,
fucking eating them L's, like,
ate L's all season long, and now the offseason comes,
and you're looking good, like,
looks like we want another bucket of fucking L's because we continue to take L's, but guess what? We're showing great fucking effort.
Like, we had a bid.
Jason Lai submitted a fucking bid, so let's let's give us a trophy. We're competing again, just like we heard all season long. We took the losses, but the guys never quit. The effort was there. Down 30, they're fighting for the coach. Back. They're all this positive bullshit spin of effort. Well, it looks like the offseason comes in the same shit from the front office, same shit with Jason Light, submitting bids. And what's this shit about Dirt Cutter?
He left the combine.
He goes to the combine, and apparently he leaves for a golf tournament. I mean,
they show at the Senior Bowl either.
Yeah, he doesn't even show up to the Senior Bowl is what they were reporting. So, I mean, other than it's a Bucks life, what the fuck is going on? Over and being a Bucks fan, I don't even fucking know anymore. You got so many fucking holes.
Like, this bitch got more holes than the Titanic.
And it's just like we know the story already. We're gonna fucking count on Spence. We're gonna draft a fucking few rookies. Get a 35-year-old pass rush.
A 40-year-old in Pepperidge.
Fuck it. Buy season tickets. Let's get to the game. It's all bullshit.
One more week, you better fucking spin light and better not fucking cringe either.
Anyways, we're rambling. Yeah. We're going to wrap it up. Speak softly.
And carry a big motherfucking stick.
Thanks, guys. Always like having you on. Love the energy you bring. This guy brings energy, too. Jeremy. Hey, Jeremy.
Hey, Kamish. What up? It's Jeremy and Callie. Just calling in, giving my Bucks tag. Been a while. So here's the thing. Robert Quinn, all this goddamn bullshit Jason Light's pulling. I know it's all fucking shit. We've already talked about it. Michael Bennett, old player, probably more his speed. But, and he can pay him nothing to come in here. But we'll see if he comes. Better perform. I know maybe Jason has some underlying thing that he's looking for. Maybe somebody from the Panthers, something going on. Anyway, I don't know. But fucking Light, man. Here's the other thing. I looked into it, and Manchester United, so this has nothing to do with the Glazers not wanting to spend money. Because Manchester United, their goddamn football club in England, has the highest salary cap. Which they don't have salary caps, a little different. But they have the highest fucking paid player in fucking Premier League history. So it's not the goddamn Glazers. It's Jason Light's cheap ass not wanting to spend fucking money. You know what else fucking chops my ass? And I'm fucking pissed about it. I had my ticket to come to the goddamn draft party. And I can't go because I have to work. God damn it. Fucking pissed! So you guys are gonna have to speak softly for me and carry that big motherfucking stick!
Sounds like a job you should quit from. No, don't. Don't do that. You can if you want. I mean, I'm taking PTO. I'm taking definitely the Friday off. Probably gonna take a half day that Thursday. I gotta get right. But I don't want to get right too early. Because then it just turns into a shit show. Which is what it was last year. Bubba is in Philly. I think he's coming.
Justin, what's going on, buddy? Bubba from Philly here. I know it's been a little while since I sent in the take, but still been listening, man. Still been listening. Hey, this draft party. Might have to come down there for it. Might have to fly down. Me and my girl may have to be in attendance for it. We weren't there last year, and I keep hearing about how fun it was and everything like that. I might have to make the trip, man. I've already checked out some airfare prices and maybe a rental car. Just waiting for you to drop the hotel information. So as soon as you drop that, I may have to book that ASAP. Sounds like it's going to be a hell of a time with great people and a lot of fucking drinking. Go Bucks. And also, with me living in Philly, man, I want us to top how the celebration was in Philly for the fucking Eagles winning the Super Bowl. I want us to top that at the fucking draft party. Are we up for the fucking challenge or what? Woo! Speak softly, carry that big motherfucking stick.
We will, Harold, by the way, I mentioned him before. A lot of you know Harold, but Harold is assisting me with the hotel, and I think we're just ironing out the details, and again, they've got rooms. We're going to block off 20, so as soon as we have that confirmed, We'll get that information out. We're blocking off 20, but that doesn't mean they only have 20 rooms available. So, I mean, if we sell out a hotel, shit. We'll the after party. I'll make sure that I attend the after party this year at the hotel. How does that sound? Rodney's in Dallas. Here's our final one. Hey, Rodney.
Commish, Rodney in Dallas. I come to you today in the Stick Cares with a theme. The theme is for this year's draft and free agency market. And it is trenches. We need to beef up and shore up our trenches. That is offensively, defensively. You can't win the game of football without having a strong offensive line or defensive line. They both need to be strong. You can't open them holes, get protection for your quarterback without those big uglies up front blocking for them. You can't get pressure on the quarterback to force them bad throws or quick reads to where your helps your linebackers and your DBs get those knockdowns or battleways and those interceptions. You can't get that without those guys up front. So with that being said, I'm going to go, these are my 1A, 1B picks for the draft. If Quentin Nelson or Vita Vea is there at 7, you give me one of those guys. With that in mind, going into free agency, if I have that game plan, I'm loading up on running back, maybe 2. I'm going to try to put all my chips in to Tremaine Johnson to get another corner in. And then I'm going to somewhere in the draft, I'm going to find me a stud at defensive end, rookie, to bring him in. That's how I feel. Let me know what you think. Rodney out.
Yeah, I don't mind. And again, you know, this kind of goes back to the theme of this podcast, right? If there is thoughts of changing to a 3-4, again, maybe there is, maybe there isn't. Maybe they like what they have and they're just going to stay status quo. But if they're going to transition to a 3-4, then I have no problem with them being aggressive in upgrading their front 7 on defense and finding a running back. Finding a runner. You can find a guard in the draft. Typically, you can find a guard in the mid-rounds of the draft. But early on, you want to address that front 7, and you want to find a running back. First 3 rounds, front 7 and running back. And I think there's enough corners in free agency to where they don't have to be desperate to get a corner in the draft. You know, you hope that Vernon Hargreaves bounces back. He could be your nickel. You know, Ryan Smith be entering, what, his 3rd year? I know some of you want to rail on Ryan Smith, but he's got very good size, small school project. You're trying to develop him. Now, most of you don't have patience for that. But, you know, if you could bring in a free agent at corner and not feel the need to get a corner and have to upgrade your defensive line and have to get a running back and have to get a guard, got to address something in free agency. And corner is pretty deep in free agency this year. And it's pretty deep in the draft, so you don't have to get one in the first or second round. Defensive end's not. And maybe, just maybe, if they transition to a 3-4 defense, they have an eye on that guy from UCF, Shaquem Griffin. I wouldn't mind him at all. And have rotation, find guys. Can he get to the quarterback? Can Spence play outside linebacker? I mean, at least to me, if all of a sudden we find out that they are transitioning to a 3-4, wouldn't that make the offseason a little more exciting? Like, oh, shit, here we go. I think what's been frustrating to most Bucks fans is status quo. Status quo on offense, status quo on defense, status quo not making any moves quite yet, looking at the free agent list and going, meh, I mean, most of the top players have now gotten the franchise tag. Ziggy Ansah needed an end. He's gone. DeMarcus Lawrence got the franchise tag. He's gone. Le'Veon Bell got the franchise tag. He's gone. What did I tell you? You know, franchise tag, all those top players on a free agent list, they're going to be off the board. Now all of a sudden you look at the free agent list and you're like, eh. aging veterans, or and that's why, you know, I mentioned guys like Star Latulele, who maybe the Panthers are dealing with some salary cap issues, got to make a tough decision. You know, maybe he's not part of their nucleus, but he could be part of something here. Or a Kareem Martin with the Cardinals. When you got Finn here, if they transition to a 3-4, can he play 3-4 end because he's not a stand-up outside linebacker? So many things. But again, transitioning to a 3-4 is like, oh, this could be fun. Could be fun to anticipate. Could be fun to speculate. Now we just have to sit back, wait, and see. By the way, Monday's podcast, we start really talking free agency. And I'm very excited about that. Because this podcast is two times a week. It's Mondays and Wednesdays. First available at JoeBucksFan.com. And then, of course, uploads directly to your mobile device. You just got to subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes, Google Play, Podcast Addict, and Podbean. And again, thanks to our partner, JoeBucksFan.com. What a special partnership we have. And those guys going to be very heavily involved in the big draft party this year, along with Ira Kaufman and his amazing podcast and all the amazing podcasts on the JoeBucksFan.com podcast network. We love them all. And what a great alternative to the shit that you have in the mainstream media, local sports media here locally. So special shout out to our sponsors. They're the ones that make the podcast go. Would not be doing this without them. And, of course, thank you to Buffalo Wild Wings. Home of the 2018 Bucks Uncensored Draft Party. South Tampa locations where we'll be, but I urge you to check out their happy hour with the $4 apps, discounted beer, happy hour, and late night happy hour. All at Buffalo Wild Wings, wings, beer, sports. Mastro Subaru, Pete, the guys there, and Mastro Subaru, they're the ones giving stick carriers a discount on new and pre-owned vehicles. You get special pricing just for saying you're a stick carrier. Mastro Subaru, two locations, Orlando, Tampa, right off of Hillsborough. Go to MastroSubaru.com. Bricado Sandwich Shop, best double crab, Cuban sandwich in town, right off of I-4 near Ybor City. Might have to set up a lunch on draft weekend there. And, of course, Sports Legends Bar and Grill. We might have to, maybe we do a lunch on Thursday and a lunch on Friday. Lunch Bricados, lunch at Sports Legends. Love Sports Legends. I've called it a hidden gem in this area. I thought the draft party put them on the map last year. Anyone that's been to Sports Legends knows the food is fresh. You get a great meal every single time you go to Sports Legends. Unlike most sports bars, right? I mean, you go in and you can get a spectacular meal with great drink specials. Friday night's a huge night at Sports Legends. And, of course, spring training time with them within walking distance of that Phillies stadium. What is it, Spectrum Field now? Great place to go before and after any of those spring training games as well. Sports Legends, where you can eat like a legend and drink like a champ. All right, that's it for this Bucks Uncensored podcast. Looking forward to your Bucks takes for Monday's podcast. You can comment on this podcast if you'd like. You can also give me your top three free agent targets. Who are they going to be? Your top three free agent targets, because we're going hard and heavy free agency starting on Monday. It's Bucks Uncensored. It's the home of the stick carriers. And that is a movement that was started with a phrase Dirk Cutter used at the end of the 2016 season. We turned it into a movement, but it sounds just so much better in a much sexier voice.
Speak softly and carry a big motherfucking stick.
Holy shit. I think I'll do just that. And for the time being, talk to you on Monday. This is Bucks Uncensored. Nailed it.
Stand up and shout.
Go Bucks.